Welcome to today's edition of the Bible Class. Our teacher, Dr. Kenneth C. Hill, is teaching from the Old Testament book of Jeremiah. You may email your questions through the website at whcbradio.org. That's whcbradio.org. You may also mail your questions to the Bible Class, care of WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Bumpville, Tennessee, 37617. And now, here is Dr. Hill with today's lesson.
Welcome to the Bible Class. We're continuing with our study in Jeremiah. We're in chapter 38, and we're beginning at verse 10, picking up where we left off last time. Then the king commanded Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, saying, "Take from hence 30 men with thee, and take up Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he die." So Ebed-Melech took the men with him, and went into the house of the king under the treasury, and took thence old cast clouts and old rotten rags, and let them down by cords into the dungeon to Jeremiah. Now this was a cistern, not filled with water, but filled with mud. And Jeremiah was sinking in the mud. And Jeremiah, I'm sure, was shivering from the cold and was having adverse physical reactions to all of the deprivation and terrible conditions of this cistern. And this Ethiopian eunuch, Ebed-Melech, not a Jewish person. He may have become a Jewish convert, but he was originally from Ethiopia. He was a slave, a servant in the king's house. And he went to the king and implored the king for the life of Jeremiah, saying that Jeremiah was going to die in this dungeon if he was not brought out. And the king gave him permission to take 30 men with him. Think about that. 30 men with him to get Jeremiah out of the dungeon, out of the cistern where he was being incarcerated. Now they took these rotten rags, these cloths that were worthless for anything, and they put them on these hemp rope so that they would not cut in, so the rope would not cut into the emaciated frame of Jeremiah. Apparently Jeremiah was in pretty bad shape. And Ebed-Melech knew this and intervened on his behalf. Verse 12, "And Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian said unto Jeremiah, Put now these old cast clouts and rotten rags under thine armholes, under the cords. And Jeremiah did so. So they drew up Jeremiah with cords and took him out of the dungeon, and Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison." So once again, Jeremiah is now in the court of the prison and not in that terrible, stinking hole, which is nothing more than a dug-out cistern area. Then Zedekiah the king went and took Jeremiah the prophet unto him into the third entry that is in the house of the Lord. And the king said unto Jeremiah, "I will ask thee a thing, hide nothing from me." Then Jeremiah said unto Zedekiah, "If I declare it unto thee, wilt thou not surely put me to death? And if I give thee counsel, wilt thou not hearken unto me?" So Zedekiah the king sware secretly unto Jeremiah, saying, "As the Lord liveth, that made us this soul, I will not put thee to death, neither will I give thee into the hand of these men that seek thy life." Then said Jeremiah unto Zedekiah, "Thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, if thou wilt assuredly go forth unto the king of Babylon's princes, then thy soul shall live, and this city shall not be burned with fire, and thou shalt live and thine house. But if thou wilt not go forth to the king of Babylon's princes, then shall this city be given into the hand of the Chaldeans, and they shall burn it with fire, and thou shalt not escape out of their hand." And Zedekiah the king said unto Jeremiah, "I am afraid of the Jews that are fallen to the Chaldeans, lest they deliver me into their hand, and they mock me." But Jeremiah said, "They shall not deliver thee. Obey, I beseech thee, the voice of the Lord, which I speak unto thee, so it shall be well unto thee, and thy soul shall live. But if thou refuse to go forth, this is the word that the Lord hath showed me. And behold, all the women that are left in the king of Judah's house shall be brought forth to the king of Babylon's princes. And those women shall say, Thy friends have set thee on, and have prevailed against thee. Thy feet are sunk in the mire, and they are turned away back. So they shall bring out all thy wives and thy children to the Chaldeans, and thou shalt not escape out of their hand, but shall be taken by the hand of the king of Babylon, and thou shalt cause this city to be burned with fire. Then said Zedekiah unto Jeremiah, Let no man know of these words, and thou shalt not die. But if the princes hear that I have talked with thee, and they come unto thee, and say unto thee, Declare unto us now what thou hast said unto the king, hide it not from us, and we will not put thee to death, also what the king said unto thee. Then thou shalt say unto them, I presented my supplication before the king, that he would not cause me to return to Jonathan's house to die there. Then came all the princes unto Jeremiah, and asked him, and he told them according to all the words that the king had commanded. So they left off speaking with him, for the matter was not perceived. So Jeremiah abode in the court of the prison until the day that Jerusalem was taken, and he was there when Jerusalem was taken. Notice the intrigue in the king's house in the palace. Here they are under siege, about to be done away with. The Chaldeans are there to take them over and to destroy the city of Jerusalem. And the king is concerned about his princes. He's concerned about politics. He's concerned about whether or not they'll know that he's talking to Jeremiah. Such pettiness when the entire city was being taken over. Such pettiness indeed when you consider the situation. Several details, and we're getting into chapter 39, in that chapter are paralleled in other accounts in Jerusalem's fall. For the siege of Jerusalem, the breaching of its walls, and Zedekiah's flight, that's in verses 1 through 7, you can look in Jeremiah 52, 4 through 11, or in 2 Kings 25, for the looting of the city and the capture of the citizens, verses 8 through 10, you can go to Jeremiah 52, 12 through 23, or 2 Kings chapter 25, or 2 Chronicles 36, verses 18 and 19. Let us begin in chapter 39. In the ninth year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the tenth month came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army against Jerusalem, and they besieged it. And in the 11th year of Zedekiah, in the fourth month, the ninth day of the month, the city was broken up. So you see, it took a couple of years to get there, practically. And all the princes of the king of Babylon came in and sat in the middle gate, even Nergal-Sharezer, Shagmar-Nebo, Sershashim, Rabsaris, Nergal-Sharezer, Rabmag, with all the residue of the princes of the king of Babylon. Apparently, the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, came with many of his loyal princes. The names given here are those of the various Babylonian officials. They included the governor of the district of Shagmar-Nebo, or Sinmagar. They included all sorts of high military ranks. And they had the brother-in-law of Nebuchadnezzar's son, Amel-Marduk. And by the way, he subsequently became king later on. And so when they give you the list here, this is a list that can be confirmed in historical writings in other books besides the Bible. And this is true of most everything we find, is that either archaeology or other writings contemporaneous with the writings in the Bible show the Bible to be true. We don't need that, because we know the Bible is true, we know that it is the Word of God, and it not only contains truth, but it is truth. However, it is always good to see those things for those who might have doubts. And it came to pass, verse 4, that when Zedekiah the king of Judah saw them, and all the men of war, then they fled, and went forth out of the city by night, by the way of the king's garden. By the gate betwixt the two walls he went out the way of the plain. But the Chaldeans' army pursued after them, and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho. And when they had taken him, they brought him up to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, to Riblah in the land of Hamath, where he gave judgment upon him. Then the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah in Riblah before his eyes. Also the king of Babylon slew all the nobles of Judah. Moreover, he put out Zedekiah's eyes and bound him with chains to carry him to Babylon. And the Chaldeans burned the king's house and the houses of the people with fire, and break down the walls of Jerusalem. Then Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried away captive into Babylon the remnant of the people that remained in the city, and those that fell away, that fell to him with the rest of the people that remained. But Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, left the poor of the people, which had nothing, in the land of Judah, and gave them vineyards and fields at the same time. Now Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, gave charge concerning Jeremiah to Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, saying, Take him and look well to him, and do him no harm, but do unto him even as he shall say unto thee. Now we stop our reading there for just a moment. Notice that Nebuchadrezzar, the king, was better to Jeremiah than his own king Zedekiah had been. He says, whatever he tells you to do for him, do that for him. And also note that what Jeremiah had been forecasting happened as he had said it would. This captivity begins the time of the Gentiles, according to Schofield. It's the mark of which is that Jerusalem being trodden down by the Gentiles. It is the time of Gentile overlordship of Jerusalem. And it was true from the time of Nebuchadnezzar until 1948, when Israel once again was back in the land, and then there were wars to be fought before Jerusalem was fully in the hands of the Jews. Now we're at verse 13. So Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, sent, and Nebusashban, Rabsaras, and Nergal-Sharezer, Rabmag, and all the king of Babylon's princes, even they sent and took Jeremiah out of the court of the prison and committed him unto Gedaliah, the son of Eliakim, the son of Shaphan, that he should carry him home, so he dwelt among the people. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah while he was shut up in the court of the prison, saying, Go and speak to Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Behold, I will bring my words upon this city for evil, and not for good, and they shall be accomplished in that day before thee. But I will deliver thee in that day, saith the Lord, and thou shalt not be given into the hand of the men of whom thou art afraid. For I will surely deliver thee, for thou shalt not fall by the sword, but thy life shall be for a prey unto thee, because thou hast put thy trust in me, saith the Lord. Now, the promise for this Ethiopian eunuch, Ebed-Melech, is that he will be spared because he followed the Lord. And this is absolutely of great importance, because God never leaves those who follow him in a bad way. He always takes care of us. Now, why was Jeremiah taken out of the court of the prison instead of just put to death or left there for all time? According to commentaries that I've read, news of Jeremiah's messages advising Judah and Jerusalem to submit to Babylon were apparently known to Nebuchadrezzar, or Nebuchadnezzar, as we call him, and was known to his forces as well. The Lachish letters that we mentioned before mention the presence of a prophet who appeared to voice a pro-Babylonian sentiment, and it's quoted this way, "And behold, the words of the prophet are not good. They reduce morale, they sap the strength of the country and the city." Another one of those little clay tablets also mentions a letter sent by the prophet. As for the letter which Tobiahu, the king's servant, took to Shalem and of Yedo from the prophet, saying, "Beware, your slave has sent it to my lord," the sparing of Jeremiah and of Ebed-Melech is not recorded in the parallel accounts of Jerusalem's fall, but here they are recorded in Jeremiah. And so that is of great importance, especially in our study. What has been termed part four by many of those who outline the book show that chapters 40, 41, and 42 give Jeremiah's prophecies among the remnant in the land after the captivity of Zedekiah and before he has moved into Egypt. Now, this fella, Gedaliah, and some would say Gedaliah, but Gedaliah was the son of godly Ahikim, the son of Shaphan, Josiah's scribe. He was a son of a family with a rich history of faithful participation in government service. He may have had considerable experience that qualified him for an important post of being Babylon's district governor. Some have suggested that he may be identified with the Gedaliah mentioned on a seal impression found at Lachish that says, "Belonging to Gedaliah, who is over the house, who is the royal minister." And so whether or not, that's what most commentaries would lead us to believe. Here we are in chapter 40. "The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord after that Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, had let him go from Ramah, when he had taken him, being bound in chains among all that were carried away captive of Jerusalem and Judah, which were carried away captive unto Babylon. And the captain of the guard took Jeremiah and said unto him, 'The Lord thy God hath pronounced this evil upon this place. Now the Lord hath brought it and done according as he hath said. Because ye have sinned against the Lord and have not obeyed his voice, therefore this thing is come upon you.' Now the Lord hath brought it." Verse 4, "And now, behold, I loose thee this day from the chains which were upon thine hand. If it seem good unto thee to come with me into Babylon, come, and I will look well unto thee. But if it seem ill unto thee to come with me into Babylon, forbear. Behold, all the land is before thee, whether it seemeth good and convenient for thee to go thither, go." Now while he was not yet gone back, he said, "Go back also to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikim, the son of Shaphan, whom the king of Babylon hath made governor over the cities of Judah, and dwell with him among the people, or go wheresoever it seemeth convenient unto thee to go." So the captain of the guard gave him victuals and a reward, and let him go. Then went Jeremiah unto Gedaliah, the son of Ahikim, to Mizpah, and dwelt with him among the people that were left in the land. Now when all the captains of the forces that were in the fields, even they and their men, heard that the king of Babylon had made Gedaliah the son of Ahikim governor in the land, and had committed unto him men and women and children, and of the poor of the land, of them that were not carried away captive to Babylon, then they came to Gedaliah, to Mizpah, even Ishmael the son of Nethaniah, and Johanan, and Jonathan, the sons of Keriah, and Sariah, the son of Tanmudeth, and the sons of Epal, the Neophite, and Jezaniah, the son of Machalite, they and their men. And Gedaliah, the son of Ahikim, the son of Shaphan, swear unto them and to their men, saying, 'Fear not to serve the Chaldeans. Dwell in the land and serve the king of Babylon, and it shall be well with you. As for me, behold, I will dwell at Mizpah to serve the Chaldeans, which will come unto us. But ye, gather ye wine and summer fruits and oil, and put them in your vessels, and dwell in your cities that ye have taken. Likewise, when all the Jews that were in Moab and among the Ammonites and in Edom, and that were in all the countries, heard that the king of Babylon had left a remnant of Judah, and they had set over them Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, even all the Jews returned out of all the places whither they were driven, and came to the land of Judah, to Gedaliah, unto Mizpah, and gathered wine and summer fruits very much.
Thank you for joining us today for this edition of the Bible Class with Dr. Kenneth C. Hill. You may reach us by email by going to our website, whcbradio.org, and sending us an email on the Contact Us link. That's whcbradio.org. If you prefer to use the postal service, our address is The Bible Class, WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Bluntville, Tennessee, 37617. That's The Bible Class, care of WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Bluntville, Tennessee, 37617. You may also call us at 423-878-6279. Until our next Bible Class program, we are trusting that the Lord will richly bless you as you serve Him.